Friends, today we have the privilege to speak with Maureen. Now, I met her or got to know her through the St. Raphael Oil Ministries. So we're going to begin getting into letting her share her story. Maureen, tell us, when was the first time that you had an experience of purgatory and what was that like?
First time I had an experience of purgatory, the Blessed Mother had come to me and she said, hold on to me, and my soul left my body, and she took me to purgatory. And everything in purgatory was gray. Everybody had on the same gray robe. And I was asking her at that point in time why everybody looked the same. And she said to me, because they all need prayer. So they all have one thing in common. So that was a symbolic way of her showing me the importance of us praying for the souls in purgatory. Now, at this point in time, I was conducting healing services and Q&As and giving talks and whatnot in various churches throughout Massachusetts. And so I would encourage the people, I would speak of my experience, and I would encourage everybody to pray for the souls in purgatory because prayer is very important to them. I was also shown when I was over there that they cannot pray for themselves, but they can pray for us, and their prayers are very powerful as well.
What was that like for you? Was it frightening? Were you given a grace for it to not be something scarier, or the way in which it was shown to you? Do you think like maybe she showed you certain parts to where so that it wouldn't overwhelm you?
Actually, she gave me the grace. I was very calm when I was over there. I felt the sensation of love. It was a place where you felt a complete sensation of love, but the souls definitely wanted to, you know, they were asking for prayer. And then I had months later, my story is kind of a long story. I know we only have a limited amount of time, but I was chosen by God the Father, and he gave me graces and whatnot. And I had 3 years of training with the Blessed Mother and Jesus before I started doing their work. The second trip to purgatory wasn't as pleasant as the first trip to purgatory. The second trip to purgatory, the Blessed Mother had come to me and she said, our Father wants you to experience this so you can share this with his children. And the next thing I know, my soul was out of my body and we were on an elevator. And again, they show me this in a certain ways that I can humanly describe it so a human can understand it. I could feel the elevator going down, and it kept getting darker and darker and darker as we were going down. And I had asked the Blessed Mother, I said, are we going to hell? And she did not answer me. And then the elevator stopped, and we got off the elevator. And as we took a left, it was very, very dark, dark, dark down there. I felt a female soul step behind me. And I felt if I asked that female soul, are you of Jesus? And she were to say yes or no, I would then figure out where I was because I did not know at that point in time that I was in the lowest level of purgatory. So I asked the female soul, are you of Jesus? And she said, we don't see it that way. We see it that is Jesus is with us. So I continued to walk with the Blessed Mother. And as I was walking through this dark, dark, it was like a dungeon, if you will, there were many, many souls, and they were talking about sins that they committed when they were on earth. And they were encouraging me to tell others about this experience. I continued to walk, and as I was walking, many, many souls were naming many, many mortal sins that they had committed when they were on earth. And then I came to a round table, and there was a woman with a weight and a cuff. And the Blessed Mother she shook her head to me like, let her put this on you so you can feel the weight of the sin down here. Again, it's symbolic. So the woman put the cuff on me, and I could feel the weight of the sin. And I just was terrified. There was no way to humanly describe how terrifying it was. The only way I can describe it, as I tell people, is like being buried alive. And I kept pleading with the Blessed Mother, please, 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 you know. And then I had just lost my very, very best friend from cancer that I had worked with for years with children with cancer. And I pleaded with the Blessed Mother. I said, can I see my friend? And she says, my love, our Father has permitted this. And that's the key right there. God has to permit something like this. And the next thing I know, I saw this big, bright white light that was a blinding white light. And my best friend stepped out of the light and she came down towards me and she was hugging me. And she was telling me how beautiful it was on the other side and how she continues to do her work on the other side for the children with cancer through prayer. She also then said to me, Maureen, you know, our Father wants you to teach, because at that time I was doing healing services and deliverance work. So I said, I said, okay. And as I was hugging her, I heard God the Father, and he said, I must bring her back now. So I could feel her go up and leave. And as she went up and to leave, I actually fell down on top of her dress because I was hugging her, and I fell down on top of her dress. And then the next thing I knew, the Blessed Mother took my soul back. I could see my body in the bed. She put my soul back into my body. Now, I was very, very upset about having to take this trip to the lowest level of purgatory. It was probably the worst thing I've ever experienced. And, you know, I've been under demonic attack, and I've been through a lot, enduring a lot. And I have to honestly say, this was the worst thing that I've ever endured.
How did you process that? What was that like? Coming back to your body, to, you know, how do you deal with that afterwards? What's that like?
Right. It's not easy. It's not easy at all, but heaven does give me, I hear St. Michael. They do give me St. Michael to explain everything to me afterwards, to work everything through so I can go out and teach others. And that's the key. That's the goal. So I had called for Jesus and I said, Jesus, if I were to go out and tell people about all these sins that people is, you know, talking about down there, this would not be good PR for heaven. That would frighten a lot of people. And he says, no, my love, the main focus here is to tell my children, all they have to say is, I'm sorry. Okay. And I never abandon a soul. Because I then went on to say, well, Jesus, what about the woman that said, I asked her, are you of Jesus? And she said, no, we don't see it that way. Jesus is with us. He says, my love, I never abandon a soul. And I want you to teach this to my children. You know, so I go out and I try to teach the people, you know, if you're sinning, say you're sorry, confession, repent.
Prior to these experiences, did you have a strong devotion to the souls in purgatory? How did that change afterwards?
If I go back a little bit, I have no education. I dropped out of school in seventh grade. I got into real estate development. I was quite successful. I didn't know anything about the Blessed Mother, Jesus. I had no idea. My mother was very prayerful. I was not. My main focus was to try to gain in the material world. And I was very successful in doing that. And it all started when I started building my dream home after years of real estate development. And I had all kinds of paranormal activity starting up in the house that I was building. And I thought the house was haunted because I had no idea. Little did I know God had chosen me and Satan knew the plan. So the attack was on before I knew anything. The demonic attack was on. And then years later, you know, it's a lengthy story, but years later, my mother gave me a pair of rosary beads and she had to teach me how to use the rosary beads because I had no idea. So when I started praying on the rosary beads, I would hear this woman's voice and she kept repeating to me, you have been chosen. You will help people who are in need. And that's how it all started. And then the Blessed Mother directed me to a priest at the Fatima Shrine, which was Father Aniello, who was a very gifted priest who became spiritual director for 20 years. And then I went through 3 years of training with the Blessed Mother and Jesus. That's all in my book because it's quite lengthy. And that was not an easy training to get through. And then they set me out to do their work. And for 27 years, I've been conducting healing services. I always have Catholic priests with me. I don't do anything without a Catholic priest. I do deliverance work. I do exorcism. And I've worked with the children with cancer for 10 years as well. So God has used me in a lot of different ways. I have a website, MaureenCapuchon.com. My book is Heaven's Helper, My Little Star. It's on Amazon. People find it, the feedback is phenomenal on the book. People are saying it's one of the best books they've ever read. If you read the reviews, they're also saying that they're using it to be their GPS, how to get to heaven. The book is just full of testimonies, my training, just basically the whole story, how it started. And the book for 5 years. In the past 2 years, we've had a lot of physical healings. Those are documented and on my website as well. In the past 2 years, we've had testimony of bilocation, which when somebody comes in with a testimony like that to a healing service, they'll either get up and give it, or I will have them report it to the priest that's conducting that are conducting the healing services with me.
When all these different things started happening, for different people, it could be difficult sometimes even to even believe your own experiences. How was that for you? And first, your own discernment, do I want to believe this or what is this? And then how did you deal with, then we have to, if you're working with the church, that's not always easy. It's not like they just say, oh yeah, we totally believe everything you're saying. What was that process like?
The process was when I was going through training, the Blessed Mother would tell me a course of events that were going to unfold, and then they would unfold. And that was for me to learn what I was hearing and whatnot. She then directed me to a priest that had gifts. He could hear Jesus. He conducted healing services, Father Aniello. And he guided me. And as far as working within the church, that happened over a period of years. And that's called credibility, witness, what kind of fruit you bear. Are you taking money for what you're doing? And so on and so forth. So that was a slow process. I started years ago at the Fatima Shrine, conducting healing services with Father Aniello. And then as the years passed, I did many, many healing services with him. Then I traveled with Father Joe Whalen in the St. Raphael Healing Ministry, doing healing services with him. So it's years and years and years of building credibility, witness, miracles, confirmation of those miracles, documentation. So it's not an easy process. It's been a long process. And even though we have a lot of witness and I have a lot of priests behind me, you're still going to have the people that are not going to believe you. And so the Blessed Mother, that's was part of my training. She told me, she says, my love, you will have all the proof, because what God has given me the grace of having the gift of knowledge. Okay. So when I conduct a healing service, I'm able to tell people of whatever it is heaven wants them to know, whether it's trapped anger, lack of forgiveness, a health issue. It's a wide range, but again, it's whatever heaven feels is most important. Now that individual can ask me a question. If St. Michael wants to answer it, he will. Many a times he'll go to a totally different subject or a total different part of your life, because that's what heaven feels is most important for that soul. We've had demoniacs. I did one healing service and we had two demoniacs that night, and we had two priests, and one of them had supernatural strength, and she pushed the statue over, life-size statue over, and I went up to the altar and I knelt and I prayed to Jesus, and he says, get up. And when he says that, I know exactly what he means. He's going to take care of it. Now, a lot of people in the church that night were very frightful. We had a full church. I had just done a podcast, and we had people that fly in from all different states to attend these services. And a lot of people got frightened. And the two priests were trying to restrain, two priests trying to restrain this girl. And I just followed Jesus's hands. And he says, in the name of Jesus, it's gone. And right on cue, the girl fell to the ground. Okay. Now, we've had feedback, well, how can you do that? You're a lay person. You have to be a priest to do that. So that's another little obstacle. A lot of people don't understand that if you, in biblical terms, Jesus can give people, lay people, chosen, if he chooses you. It's actually Jesus that's casting it out, not the individual. And the same night, we had another demoniac down back. The same thing. I went down back. Same thing. I prayed to Jesus right on cue. The girl goes down and out. It's Jesus's. I am just an instrument. Jesus is the healer. It's taken years and years and years of discipline, and to, as the Blessed Mother taught me, walk quietly, stay small, and walk quietly. You're just a vehicle. My son will drive the vehicle. And so it's been a lot of training when I pray over people and I'm hearing, I can't get ahead of St. Michael. I have to wait because like the Blessed Mother said to me, if you add anything to it, most likely you will be wrong. So it's been a lot of discipline, a lot of trying to keep yourself at peace. In order to, Blessed Mother taught me, in order to do my work, you have to be at peace. So it's in these times in the world, it's very hard sometimes to keep yourself at peace. So, you know, before healing service, I try to pray, stay at peace. I go to the healing service. I do the best that I can do. I come home and I wait for Jesus to set up the next opportunity or the next service. So wherever it is he wants me to go is where I'll go.
I would imagine that one thing that would be difficult for, and you've been kind of touching on it a little bit, you being able to kind of be detached and to think, okay, this is Jesus working and I might be the instrument, but at times, you know, I would imagine possibly for you, for other people, we can kind of think, oh, it's my power, it's my gift. And you were talking about how like over years they've helped you to where you know, okay, that's Jesus doing this. This isn't me. What were some of the things that you mm-hmm. felt helped you get to that place where you had that type of detachment?
3 years of training, which was very, very, very difficult. Intense training from heaven. The hardest thing was to let go of Earth's boundaries and to enhance the beauty of the afterlife and to learn of that, to let go of all material goods. And stay focused on Jesus. Like the Blessed Mother showed me a ball. She said a good player stays focused on the ball being my son, Jesus. Before every healing service, I give a talk and I explain to the people that are attending the service, I am just an instrument. Jesus is the healer. I'm just a very small instrument for Jesus. And anything that happens tonight, we praise Jesus. Any miracles, all the glory goes to God. All the glory goes to Jesus.
What are some of your favorite things of these different things? Because I'm sure some of these things aren't pleasant. Maybe people hear this and they think, wow, that sounds amazing. But you're thinking, oh, no, it was not fun or it was very difficult.
Right.
What are some of the most beautiful things that you've thought, oh, this is so beautiful. I wish people could just see this.
I think one of the most beautiful things is when Satan has a grip on somebody, which is usually fear, because he can bring no harm. The only harm he can bring to you is self-inflicted harm, which is your own fear. I think one of the most beautiful things is to set those people free. So I will do Q&As and I will teach people that he has no power, only if you give him power. He can't jump into you unless you give him permission. Okay, so I try to educate the people to lift this fear from them. And I think that's a very beautiful thing. It's a very beautiful gift to give somebody to be able to free them. And that comes from heaven. So in order for me to be able to do that for these people, I've had to endure 27 years of demonic attack, training, learning. And you know, and it's funny because I'll watch people that do exorcism or I'll meet up with certain people that do exorcism work. And it's like, okay, well, these rosary beads are the most powerful thing, or is it the holy oil, or is it the prayers, or is it this? And that's all important. I'm not playing that down. But what Jesus taught me is the most important thing is you have to have 100% faith and trust that Jesus is going to take care of it. So when I go into kind of deliverance work or come up against this, I have no fear at all. Because I know that Jesus is in control and he will do it in his time and in his way. And I've seen it go so many different ways. I've seen it where he just takes care of it and he drives it out. And then I've seen it where he'll just leave it. And he has his reasons why. And I'll usually ask him, why, Jesus? And his answer to that is, my love, do you know how many people there are in the world? And I'm like, no, Jesus, this is not once have I ever made a mistake. But what I have witnessed from my own human side of it is many a times he will leave it there so the person will continue to grow in him, okay? And then as they grow and grow and grow, then you'll see the help come in. It's just the same way as if we pray for, I do healing services and I probably hear this 10,000 times a year, or many times a year, I should say. How come my prayer is not being answered, Maureen? I pray and pray and pray and my prayer is not being answered. And the answer to that, according to what heaven's taught me, is very small percentage of the time we get what we pray for. Why? So we ask Jesus why. His answer is because I can see ahead and you cannot. So I am going to do what's best for you and what's best for you. I would never take anything from you that you love. But if I see deception, I will close the door to protect you. And if I don't give you what it is you're praying for, because I am going to give you something better. That's one of the most common questions that I get. Why isn't my prayer being answered?
I could see how, you know, maybe one of the prayers that we should be praying is to have that increased faith and trust in Jesus, so that whether the answer to whatever we're asking is yes or no, we have this sense of, okay, he is doing it for my good. He's not just withholding to hurt us or to be annoying or to, you know, or to be stingy in the grace, but that it really is always, even with a no, for our own good.
Jesus loves all of his children equally. I wish I could explain the depth of his love, because it's you humanly cannot describe it. And, you know, he once said to me, I love all my children equally, and I love them for who and what they are. He works within, when I'll pray over somebody in a healing service, and then after that, it's my job to let Jesus work within that individual. And so that's what I do. And so I don't take any of it or hold any of it with me. I just go there. I pray over the person as a very small instrument. I communicate with heaven. I give them their message and I go to the next one. And I'll do that until I'm done, the entire church. And it's very long hours. You have to be at total peace, total concentration. And then when you go home, you need a couple days off because it's exhausting. It's totally exhausting.
I can imagine, you know, it's I think it's good to kind of mention those things so that people understand, like, they see the beauty of it, but they also see, okay, this is, it's not easy work, even though it looks like she's just sitting there, there's intense things, right, that you're doing, intense prayer.
Yes, intense prayer. Again, not getting ahead of heaven when they're given that message. Repeating the message exactly how I receive it, nothing more, nothing less, and then going to the next individual. Now, a lot of people think that I have full knowledge. I do not. I only have the knowledge, like Jesus said to me, you know, when I was going through training, he gave me full knowledge for 3 days. And I asked him, Jesus, will I always have this knowledge? And he said, no, you will have the knowledge in which you will need to do the work in which I put in front of you. So a lot of people feel because I'm able to tell them something about their childhood or inner anger or health issue or whatever it may be, that I know everything. I do not. I only know what I hear, and that's what I relay. And then I let go of it and I go to the next individual. And we've had people come back 3 years later, 4 years later, and I'll pray for them and I'll give them a message and they'll like, wait a minute, you must remember me because that's what you told me 4 years ago. And I don't, of course, I'm not going to remember. It's impossible to retain that. And the thing is a lot of times, if you have not changed or the circumstances have not changed, the message is going to be the same. 4 years later, same message.
If people want to go to some of these healing services, is the best place to go to your website? Is that kind of where that calendar is listed?
Yes, I have my schedule on my website. It's MaureenCapistran.com. Now, I would like to tell the people that so many people fly in from everywhere to attend a service, but It's really not necessary to do that. If you email me, I have a team of people that work with me. If you email me your prayer petition, I will have a volunteer stand in proxy for you. And you'll probably get the same result as if you were to attend, rather than, you know, flying out. Of course, a lot of people like sabbatical and fly out, so feel free to do that. I'm not trying to discourage. I'm just saying a lot of people are very ill, they're handicapped, and you know, it's very difficult for them to travel or the expense of traveling. So I try to encourage them to write in with their prayer request, and then that, I'll have some of my volunteers stand in proxy, and, you know, and we've had beautiful results in doing that as well. We had a woman that we've had, you know, two testimonies of by location as well. And one of those two, the woman came for her nephew. She was standing in proxy for her nephew, who was a seminarian and was very sick. That's all. Those testimonies are all on the website for those that like to, you know, take a minute, you know, to review them or whatnot. And yes, we are going to get a lot of doubt. We do get that. But you know what I say, I pray for those people, I understand why a lot of people doubt, because there is so much fraud out there. And when I do my Q&As, I try to educate people how to discern so they don't get snagged up in fraud. So like I said, I've been doing 27 years. I work within the Catholic churches. I always work with Catholic priests. I take no money for what I do. All the donations go to the churches. You know, like I said, it is, you know, you have to look at the fruit, right? You have to look at what's coming out of the gift and is good coming out of it. So we've had 27 years of a lot of beautiful things, a lot of help to a lot of
people. It's so beautiful that we have in our church so many different people, but sometimes people don't know it, and that we have that God has been generous with you in these different gifts, and that you've been able to put them at the service of the people of God. I think it's just beautiful that we have this, and hopefully more people know and get to know, so that they can receive whatever healing they need, so that they could be better instruments in the lives of other people.
God gives many people, many people that have been chosen. They have many gifts. They're just different gifts. A lot of, you know what I mean? Everybody has, there's different gifts out there. He has many, many people that he chooses. But not all of them say yes. Some of them say yes, and then, you know, they get tired, or they want to take a right or a left, and we have free will. And like the Blessed Mother had said to me, because I've gotten to that point before where I'm tired, and I'm thinking, well, maybe I should just give this up because I've been doing it for so long and I'm tired. And the Blessed Mother says to me, my love, you have free will. You will not be judged any different if you decide not to do this. So we have free will to do it, continue to do it, or accept to do it. It goes widespread for all of us, yourself, other people that are trying to bring people to God and Jesus and conversions. And, you know, I have such a great love for Jesus and the Blessed Mother. I just have a real hard time giving it up. So I'll push myself physically, mentally to continue on.
Well, I really hope that the people that have had a chance to just hear a little bit of your story will go to hear more of it in the book, and or that they have an opportunity to either email you for prayer if they need that, or to go to one of those healing services. Would you mind closing with a prayer, especially for God's blessing on everyone that's watching this video?
Name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus, I pray to you with love and prayer. I ask that you guide and protect your children and answer all prayer petitions that come in today through this video for healings. For this I pray, Jesus. I thank you, I praise you, and I love you, Jesus. Name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
And for everyone that joined today, thank you for being here, and I will see you in the next one.